usually when I start off Shia by saying we're about to start a brand new sugya, so most of the time I'm not really telling the truth, because 99% of the time it's just a continuation of 15 other sugyas that we've been talking about. But today is really true, that this is not much a brand new sugya. This sugya stands in and of itself. This has absolutely nothing to do with anything we've spoken about in Ksubas up until this point. There's only one reason why this Gemara even made it into Ksubas, is because the Gemara was trying to figure out. I went back on my word. I'm ready to refer back to a previous sugya. The Gemara was trying to figure out whether Yesh Beger B'Kever in Beger B'Kever. So in order to figure out just the technicality of that beautiful, wonderful Lomdash sugya, which had to do with Knas. Let's talk about Knas a little bit, whether Knas is Mechayef. Okay, that we know already. So the Gemara had to try to figure out the mechanics, whether you can have a little girl actually having a baby. So the Gemara just going through the basic OB rules over here as to how old the girl has to be before she can practically, physically become pregnant and give birth to a live child. So the Gemara, after getting through all the details, comes out to the conclusion, to the realization, that there really is no case of Yesh Beger B'Kever, at least not the simple case of Yesh Beger B'Kever. So that's how we got into this topic altogether. But in the process, Baruch Hashem, the Gemara decided to talk about this topic, because this topic has become the sugya. This is the basis for everything anyone intelligent wants to talk about, and halacha about birth control ultimately begins with this sugya. So we're really going to learn this sugya, hopefully properly, in the Rishonim, to see the Gemara and the Rishonim read, and then to understand the lovelessness, and of course, hopefully to draw some potential lamais applications out of this sugya. So the Gemara starts out with the top Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph, the second line from the top. The famous statement of Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'Moich. That's about all we're going to talk about. That's it. There are three women who are Mishamshos B'Moich. So we know what the word Shalosh means. We know what the word Nashim means. We know what the word Mishamshos means. We have no idea what the word Moch is. Moch is some kind of a form of a birth control. A Moch literally is a rag, a shmata, a wad of material or something. So the Gemara is discussing this type of a birth control. There are three women who, I'm very, very weary how to translate this phrase, but we'll just translate it very, very generally now. There are three women who are Mishamshos B'moch, who are supposed to be, when they have relations, are supposed to be using a moch. Who are these three women? So, Ketana, Mubaras, and Manika. Three women who we have certain medical concerns, we do not want them to become pregnant. Who are the three women who we don't want to become pregnant? One is a Ketana. One is a Mu'uberes, one who is already pregnant, which the Gemara raises the question, how in the world that's going to happen physically, biologically, it's a different story. And the third is Manika, a woman who is nursing. So even though it's unlikely, leaving out the pregnant woman for a minute, the woman who's nursing and the girls with Tana, probably unlikely that they're going to become pregnant altogether. If they would become pregnant, there are some medical concerns, and therefore the Tanakam of the Braisa, which is Rabbi Meir, says, therefore, the Halacha says, these women are Mishamshos B'moch. The Chachamim seem to deny the facts of Rabbi Meir, or at least his interpretation of the facts. The Chachamim seem to say that there's nothing all that much to be concerned with, and therefore there is no special halacha to these three women. But what the Chachamim invoked, the principle of Shoah Pesayim Hashem, that whereas you, Rabbi Meir, are very concerned about the danger, we're not all that concerned about the danger, and therefore we're going to paskin the shadow differently. So obviously in this sugya there's a major, major sub-sugya taking place, namely the issue of risk in halacha, the issue of shalom b'sayim Hashem, what's considered to be dangerous, what's not considered to be dangerous, jumping out of planes, going skiing, playing hockey, all the above, all those kinds of things, whether they fall into the category of being also, they fall into the category of shalom b'sayim Hashem. So we're not going to talk about that right now. It's going to come up in the course of the sugya. That's not the main focus of our sugya right now. Maybe, we will allude to it as the sugya develops a little bit. But we are focusing more on the Mishamshos B'moch part, on the fact that there are three women who Rabbi Meir is highlighting use a moch. Again, I'm being very, very careful in my translation. Rabbi Meir claims these three women use a moch. And the Chachamim, because of their assessment of the statistical risks in the world of medicine, they're of the opinion that these three women are not all that different from any other women, and whatever the halachas of regular women would be carried over to these three women as well. So we're going to spend the overwhelming majority of our sugya discussing Rabbi Meir Shita. Even though, believe it or not, we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, we happen to paskin like the Chachamim, Yechram Lach Rabim. But Rabbi Meir Shita is absolutely critical, because the fundamental lumdus behind Rabbi Meir is true, it's just that Rabbi Meir applied it to cases that we don't accept. There may be other cases out there where we do subscribe to Rabbi Meir Shita. So even though we may, in the end of the day, paskin that Ketana, Mubaras, and Manika don't have this status that Rabbi Meir is describing, There may be other women out there, and again, I'm not the doctor right now, I'll just throw out just a few. There may be women who have half a dozen other medical cases. You may have a woman with diabetes, a woman with high blood pressure, a woman with other complications, who may meet the criteria even according to the Chachamim, and therefore Rabbi Meir's analysis is very important. So again, the bulk of Ashir is going to be keeping on invoking Rabbi Meir, so lest somebody say, Rabbi, we don't follow Rabbi Meir, that's true in these three cases, but the principles of Rabbi Meir are critical for us for Halacha also. So we have to understand what in the world Rabbi Meir said. So Gibul Nashim Misham Shustimaych. There are three women who are using birth control. That's basically what Rabbi Meir said. Three women are using birth control. The obvious implication is that nobody else is using birth control. That's the simple pshat of the Gemara. What in the world is going on? So Rashi is always a good place to start. So Rashi, on the beginning of the sugya, starts out by saying, second one, Meshamshes b'moich. Mutar lehen l'shamish b'moich. Ve'einan kemashchis el zera. So in seven words, Rashi said an unbelievable approach to this figure. It's so unbelievable that maybe the Shem don't believe it. But Rashi says that what Rabbi Meir was saying is as follows. The starting point of being Meshamshos B'moch is that it's awesome. That's what the starting point of the sugya is, says Rashi. A regular woman comes to you and says, Rabbi, am I permitted to be Meshamshos B'moch? So the answer is unequivocally what? No. Why is it also? What's the name of the Yisr? Go through the list of 365 Yisurim in the Torah. It's not Chil Shav, it's not Lashon Hara, not Shatnez. What is it? Mashchisa Zera. It's an Yisr of Ashchosa Zera, which happens not even to be one of the quote-unquote Tayag Mitzvahs, and it says not Deraisa, but it says it's not one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. Vishteir in the Torah, there's an Yisr of Ashchosa Zera. So I open up Chumash, and I remember Rashi tells me in HaChadosh Hazel Lechem Rosh Chadosh was the first real mitzvah that we know about. So I start looking from Parshas Bo, and I go all the way to Vizayis HaBaracha, and I don't see anywhere, anything, I never heard of such a Nisr. So the Teretz is that I goofed, that I missed it, because it's somewhere before HaKadosh Hazel Lechem. So I open up the Sefer HaChinuch, and I look at there are only three mitzvahs before HaKadosh Hazel Lechem. One is Peruvu, one is Bris Milah, one is Gidan Nosha, and I'm still scratching my head. I can't quite find it. Where is this Nisr? So then I remember, look a little bit further, a little bit deeper, and I realize there was a series of psukim tucked away in Parshas Vayeshev, where the Torah doesn't say, don't do the following. The Torah just tells a story about certain people who did the following and were punished quite severely for doing that. And those, of course, the two individuals who? Aaron and Oynan. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us about the terrible chait of Aaron and Oynan, the sons of Yehuda, the two old sons of Yehuda. And they were obviously involved in an act of Ashkos Zerah, as it says explicitly. So again, whatever the motive was, whatever the reason was, whatever the background was, Tachas, at the end of the day, Onan explicitly in the Chumash was being Mashkos Zerah. Air, it doesn't say explicitly that was his chait, but the Tashma Peh explains, because it says, V'yom is gam oiso by Onan. God means that was the original chay for Er also. So Ev Oynan Hishchisu Zara. That's what the Gemara says at the end of the third paragraph of Masechet Yevamos. That's the official translation. That's the official halachic status. Ev Oynan was an act of Hishchisu Zara. So we derive the halacha of the Deiris. The Torah tells us about the terrible Oynish that they did. Is that meant from God that it was also what they were doing? So even in the absence of an explicit command of Lashon Tzivui, it is clear that this is something that the Torah prohibits, Torah frowns upon in very, very clear terms. And therefore, Ashkos HaZera takes on the status of, we'll call it a Deraisa. So again, it's a Deraisa because it's in the Chumash. It's not a Lav Beferush, but it's an Issa Deraisa. So comes Rashi in Ksuvas on the Testament Aleph and says, that's the starting point of this Sugya. The starting point is that to be involved in an act of Tashmish, invoking, using a Moch, is an outright violation of Ashkos HaZera. And therefore, the starting point is it's Aser. Everything's also the proven Mutter. You have to find the heter. You have to find your reason to be matir it. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. The heter is Gimel Nashim. Since Rabbi Meir's medicine pointed in the direction, the doctors we consulted with, the statistics that he was studying pointed in the direction that it is dangerous for the Ketana, Muberes, and Menika to become pregnant. So somehow that danger was considered enough of a fact that to quote unquote be matir what would otherwise be a Nisidir Raisa. That's a Rashi's learning up the Sugya. And therefore Rashi says, Misham Shus B'moich, Mutl hem Meshamish B'moich. And Rabbi Meir says Meshamshos means it's mutter, and don't say the enem Ashkos HaZera. It's not considered to be a violation of the otherwise this of Ashkos HaZera. And the Chacham who disagree with the statistics, or disagree in the interpretation of the statistics, and say this is not considered to be an acceptable level of Sakon and Halacha, According to the Chachamim, the Gimel Nashim are the same as anybody else, and therefore there would be in the Segamur of Ashkos Azera that same as the Derais that even Rabbi Meir concedes to under normal circumstances. So within those 7 words of Rashi, that's pretty much what the Sugya is saying. Is there isn't a Derais in place? We need a Heter. Rabbi Meir had a Heter, the Chacham didn't have a Heter. Yeah.
So Rashi would say that according to Rabbi Meir, the mitzvah.
I didn't say any beer in Rashi whatsoever. I'm just reading the Rashi. I'm trying to explain what Rashi said. I have a lot of work to do why Rashi said what he says. Okay?
How can the
Diyah override the... That's the fundamental kasha of Taisus against Rashi. Right? Okay, but let's just read Rashi. I read Rashi with you. Right? We read Rashi together. Okay? But so comes Taisus, Exubis, and asks a powerful kasha against Rashi. Comes Taisus and says... Take a look at the top Lama Testament now. Pish Bekuntis, but tell us the Shash Benoit. I forgot the Shad Nashim Asuah Shem Hasazera. Ve'enir Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rabbeinu Tam, I agree to you there's a Nisr called Hashchos Hazera in the Torah Kim, Tanoi Pesukim Pashat Ve'eshev, but I don't think that the act that's taking place here is an act of Hashchos Hazera. Why? The Ketan of Ailan is Mutu L'Shamish Ba'adai of Lohavei Hashchos Hazera came through Derech Tashmish. What did Rabbeinu Tam ask? Rabbeinu Tam challenges his grandfather Rashi and says, define to me what Hashchos Hazera is. What do you think the definition of Hashchos Hazera is? I'm going to play devil's advocate up to you, Benetan. You're going to tell me that Hashchos Hazera means any maisibia that can't result in pregnancy? That's going to be your definition, right? That's what Rashi sounds like he's saying. Once you stick in birth control, so then you're creating, you're invoking, you're engaging in an act of bia which cannot, unless the birth control is not going to work, but normally the birth control is going to be effective. So you're engaging in an act of bia that cannot, that's impossible to result in pregnancy. That's your definition of Hashchos Hazera. So says Rabbeinu Tam, that cannot be true. Because Maisim Bechal Yad, Lo Shomano Dovazim Ayadlam. Says what? A person is not allowed to be married to Ketana? She's never going to, I think we learned once or twice this year, there's a thing called Kiddush Ketana. They're Aisha, they're Rabbana, right? We talked about that. A person can't be married to an islandess. Forget these wild cases. A person can be married to his wife after childbearing years. I mean, a person can have relations with the wife and she's already pregnant. Those are all examples of bia, which obviously will never ever result in children. And it's Heter Gomer. What's the shan? Nobody ever questioned those. That's ridiculous, says Rabbeinu Tam. Why is that not called a problem of Hashchos Hazera? So the answer is because you have the wrong definition of Hashchos Hazera. Hashchos Hazera doesn't mean a bia that can't result in children. Go back to Erva Oinon. You want to know what Hashchos Hazera is? Go back to the basic, go back to the source. What was the Maisi Erva Oinon? So the Gemara in Yevamah says a little bit of a question, what exactly they did Erva Oinon. The Torah is a little bit, the Torah is graphic, but not quite clear. So the Gemara has two different possibilities. Either it means it was what's called the Dashmu Bifrim Bezerim Lechutz. It means they started to have bia, and then before he would be Maisi Zera, he would come out. That's one, that's the simple reading of the Pasuk. Then the Gemara has another possibility, maybe it was a Bia Shalai Kedarka, it was a whole different story. They weren't even having Maisa Bia in a place where it was even possible to be Maitzi Zera inside in a normal way. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, that's called Maisa Erva Oinon, that's Hashchos Hazera. But if a couple's having Bia, Derech Bia in a normal manner, but there's some kind of external reason why she's not going to become pregnant, call the external reason she's too young, call it the external reason she's pregnant already, call it the external reason she's an artist, call it that she's too old, call it that there's a moich. What does that have to do with Hashchos Hazera? That's bia, the derech al haaretz, that's bia regila, derech tashmish, lo shemana dov ezem yoylem, zik Rabbeinu Tam, that should be also. That was Rabbeinu Tam's kash against Rashi. So because Rabbeinu Tam is so bothered with Rashi's pshat, he's going to have to reinterpret, revamp, restructure the entire sugya. Rashi's pshat cannot be. So according to Rashi, the starting point of the sugya is that Tashbish, the Moich, is Mamish and Issa Gomer of Hashchos Hazera. That's the starting point. And somehow, somewhere, according to Rabbi Meir, Gimul Nashim, Sema Omutaros. And we have no idea why, but Gimul Nashim Omutaros, presumably some kind of sakana issue. That's a Rashi is in the sugya. So Ben Atam is questioning the first half of Rashi, namely, who says Tashbish from Moich equals Hashchos Hazera? So who here read the Tosis? Everyone read the Tosis, right? Who here thinks they understand the Tosis? Who here thinks they understand Rabbeinu Tam's objection against Rashi? Who here thinks there's something missing in this Tosis? who here read the Toys and Yavamas? Let's go back. Who here is alive? Who here can breathe? Who here can put their hands up? Who here can wave? Good. Okay, and I see some smiles. These are some signs of primitive life here. Okay, everybody say. This Tosfos, this Kasha against Rashi, is not complete. It's a great Kasha, but it's only half the story. You have to go to Tosfos Yavamis and really learn the Tosfos Yavamis properly to understand what was really troubling Rabbi Natan, what was really bothering Rabbi Natan. And thus, we have Exhibit A, Tosfos Maseches Yavamis. The wrong daf. Did I put on the Maamar Kamos? I didn't put it on? I didn't put the Tosfos Yavamis on. That's probably why nobody thought the Tosfos was included. I put the Tosfos Rosh on, right? And I still put the Tosfos Rosh on. Oh, okay. So Tosfos Rosh is even more than the okay. There's Bechal Messiah Mana, that's why I want to. Nah, we'll read the Tosfos Yavamis. One of them. Gotta find it first. Listen to Rabbi Tam's observation of Rashi in Yavamis. Pretty much the Tosfos Rosh. Rabbi Tam in there. The lifnei tashmish vade osalitin shamoch, the ein derech tashmish pekach. V'yo kematal zeh le'etzem el avonim, kishematal hamoich. V'am nesenes mech acha tashmish, ein nir le'asor, ha'i gavra ki orche mishamish, b'di ha'v ektana ve'elnes, lo itzru betashmim, v'labinos bonim ninu. V'isha she nesenes acha kachmoich, lo huzir ashchos azeh, rakev mo mifkid ha'per v'rivya. V'bintam in Yavamis. And the Tosfos Rosh presents the kasha in a much more elaborate fashion. Comes to Ben Tam and says, I challenge my grandfather, the Heiliger Ben Tam, asking his grandfather, Rosh, I challenge you, my grandfather, to tell me the mitzias of Meshamshus B'moich. I could think of two ways, two very radically different ways of describing what the mitzias is, and you pick and you choose which shot you think is correct. And I'm going to ask a question, either one. What are the two ways of understanding Tashmish B'moich? Two practical ways. Two different scenarios. What are they? It's a question of timeline. Well, when is this moch there? So one interpretation of Meshamsh B'moich is that the moch is there b'shas Tashmish. And the job in the moch is to prevent the zera from penetrating, going in to be able to make the woman pregnant. That's one pshat. It's called moch kaidim tashmish. That's what Rashi is describing. Then there's another totally different pshat in Rashi. A totally different pshat in Metzias. What's the other pshat in Metzias? It's a moich liacha tashmish. Namely, tashmish was kedarkai. And now it would be, quote unquote, what the modern day equivalent would be. What do they call it? The morning, what do they call it? The morning after pill, right? It means it's after. You did tashmish already. And now you want to do something to interfere with the possibility of becoming pregnant. Tashmish was normal. There was nothing there. There was no barrier there b'shas tashmish. You're trying to do something after to retrieve, to solve the problem before the woman, in a sense, becomes pregnant, but it was after tashmish. Let's go to moch. Yeah, again, we're not commenting on the validity of either one of these two methods in terms of how well they're going to work, but these are two potential methods that one could argue is the moch that Chazal is discussing. Either it's a moch kedim tashmish, or it's a moch liachet tashmish. So now Rabbi Tam takes Rashi to task. Comes to Rabbi Tam and says, you pick, you tell me what the case is, I don't care. Heliger, Zayda, tell me the case, and I have a problem for you. If the moch is a moch liachet tashmish, what is that presupposing? What happened b'shas tashmish? What did it look like b'shas tashmish? Totally normal. Just as what? The same, no difference between this tashmish and the way what? The way a person is mishamish with an isha ketana, with an isha eilanis, an isha zakeda, isha muberes. It's the exact thing. And it's exactly what Tosfos is asking subas by us. But Ben Tam is quoted by saying, why is it us, sir? It's identical to a tashmish of a ketana. Because Ben Tam by us was asking the half of the question by saying, it's miyad, it must be it's a mochli achatashmish. As a mochli achatashmish, the tashmish was normal, kederech kol ha'aretz, kederech tashmish. And therefore, what are you going to ask for? Based on what? Point me a moment that tells us. Rashi's hope shot is that Atash Hashemach equals Hashchas Zera. Tell me when. Tell me the moment in time that somebody's violating Hashchas Zera. When the man's being Baal Ishtai, is that a Nisav Hashchas Zera? Absurd. So what could possibly qualify as an Isser? Maybe Rabbi Natan misunderstood Rashi. Maybe Rashi meant the act of Bia is not a problem. The Isser is her placing the Mochen afterwards. So whereas Rabbi Natan by us doesn't even address that, Rabbi Natan and Yevamos immediately addresses that and says that's not an option for an Isser. You know why? Why is that not an option, Zach Rabbi Natan? What did Rabbi Natan say? No, let's read the Tosis again. Tosis says, "In the senes meich achra tashmish, ein near lesser. There's no isim bichlal. The high gavra ki orchim ishamish because he's tashmish gdekel orit, so he's not doing anything wrong. Midid avek tarav alnis lo itzu b'tashmish labanis lemenu. Via isha shen the senes achar kach meich. And maybe one could argue that mitam the man there's no problem, but when the woman an hour later sticks in the milk, maybe she's in violation of an isur. Says Rabbi Natan, that's not an option either. Why is that?" Well, who's Rosh Chosazera? Rabbi Natan happens to know that women are not included in the Yisr of Rosh Chosazera. Why? Kevdol Mifka da Pira Varivya. Out of nowhere, Rabbi Natan said, just as women of Pturos from Peruvu, so to the Pturos from Rosh Chosazera. That's an eye-opener, that Rabbi Natan. We got a lot of work to do with that Rabbi Natan, but not for now. So Rabbi Natan is challenging Rashi and saying, Rashi's entire pshat is working with one basic premise, namely, that Tashmi Shemoch is Usur under normal circumstances because of Hashchas Zera. Correct? Taisvis, where's the Isser? It's a Mokhli Akatashvish, where's the Isser? The Shas Bia's Usser? Nah, Tashvish Kalaritz. The Nesina afterwards is Isser? Nah, because she's a woman who's doing it, a woman of Turas from the Isser of Hashchas Zera for some deep dark secret, because something to do with Peruvu, we have no idea what that means. So therefore, Rabbi Natan said that's not an option. But Rabbi Natan's not done with his grandfather. Now Rabbi Natan revamps and says, okay, so maybe I learned my Pshat and my Zayda wrong. Maybe the Moich of Chazal is what? Is a Moich of what? Chayim Tashmish. Ooh, that's a horse of a different color. I can hear an Isser. I can hear an Isser for that. What's the Isser? Isser for who? Who's an Isser on now? It's on the man. He's doing a Maisabiya. So he's doing something that's potentially problematic. Can you call this Tashmish Keder Kol Aretz? I don't think so, says Rabbi Natan. You can't call this Tashmish Keder Kol Aretz. Rabbi Natan comes up with a mashal. What does he say? It's Kematel Zar La'etzim V'Avonim. Says Rabbi Natan, that makes a lot of sense. That's exactly what Erev Einan did. They were Maitzi Zar La'etzim V'Avonim. That's exactly what they did. So says Rabbi Natan, that makes a lot of sense. That Rashi's hope shot was Tashmish B'Moich is an Issa V'Shchos Zera to go down the route of Moich L'Yachat Tashmish, that was not acceptable, that was not Shaykh. So it must be the Rashi was referring to a Moich Kaidim Tashmish. Oh, now we're good. Rashi's in great shape, right? So what's wrong with Rashi's Pshat? We just found an Isser. Rabbi Natan himself just said it's an Isser. It's an Isser of Matul Zal Eitzel Avonim. It's not an Isser for us, it's an Isser for him. So what's the problem with Rashi's Pshat? What is Rashi guilty of, everybody say? Overkill. It's so usur that it should be usur for who? For who? Even the Gimel Nashim. Once you tell me that it's so usur, so that I don't understand such a bit of time. I just solved your problem of why there's an isur. Now that there's an isur, so then why the Gimel Nashim would tolerate us? Based on what? So you're going to tell me a bubamites. What's your bubamites? You're going to tell me why it's mutter? Because it's dangerous. So all the people in who, all the pre-med guys are going to say, what? What are they going to say? Come on, all together. It's what? It's a suffix what? It's a suffix what? All the doctors, come on. It's a suffix b'kuch nefesh. That's why it's mutter. Oh, because everything's b'kuch nefesh. Everything's mutter. Everyone knows you say two things to me. B'kuch nefesh, everything's mutter. Shalom bayis, everything's mutter. B'kuch nefesh, everything's mutter, right? That's just b'kuch nefesh. That's b'kuch nefesh. Yeah, it's Pikuch Nefesh, really. Who's going to tell me it's Pikuch Nefesh? Who thinks it's Pikuch Nefesh? Even if Ramey is right. Not because the Chum say his analysis is Pikuch Nefesh. Even Ramey is right. It's not dangerous. The woman may die. There's an outside chance she may die. So Pikuch Nefesh. So because of the power of Pikuch Nefesh, we're going to mat the Tashmish B'Moich. Who likes that, Svar? Who likes that? In case you thought that was true, I'll tell you the following. Once a guy said to me that he wanted to take a job to be a lifeguard in a girls' camp. So I said to him, it's also to do that. So he said, it's a pikuach nefesh. So I said, first of all, it's up his rabbi to give the rice. He's hard for Yahweh. I didn't want to go down that route. I didn't think he would accept that. So I said to him, this is nishkem pikuach nefesh. You know why? Don't go swimming. That's pikuach nefesh? Let them not have tashmish. That's pikuach nefesh. Are you nuts? That's pikuach nefesh. That's pikuach nefesh. So what's Rashi talking about? So it's interesting, when Tosfos and Ksubis formulates the kash against Rashi, Tosfos didn't even bother spelling this out. Did you notice? Tosfos didn't even ask the second half of the kasha because they thought it was such a silly second half of the kasha. It's so obvious. Of course we're not talking about a moich that's there, kedem tashmish. Everybody knows that's in the Siddur Aisavash. That's Erva Oinon. So what's fired there? Who's going to be mad for such a silly thing? That's crazy. Tosfos with Chepri, maybe Kenzine, we could salvage Rashi by talking about a moich le'akatashmish and Tosfos it can't be because it's bia kedarka and it's no worse than having bia with an ishta katana or something. But Tosfos and Yavam is spelled out. You have to see the Tosfos and Yavam to read it clear. Tosfos spells out all the possibilities. Tosfos drew a chart on the board and said, what's Bezeidah talking about? If it's a moich le'akatashmish, it should be het gomer. If it's a kedem tashmish, it should be so usur that gimel nashur should also be usuros. That's Tosfos kash against Rashi. V'tei chayim hakusha. Rabbi Natam changed the entire pshat from A to Z. What was Rabbi Natam's pshat? What was that Rabbi Natam? Says Rabbi Natam, when the gemara said gimel nashur b'shamshas b'moich, the Gemara was not translated to mean there are three women who are permissible to use a moich, inferring that everybody else is prohibited to use a moich. No. Everybody is permitted to use a moich. There's no shot of using a moich. Everyone's allowed to use a moich, provided that what kind of moich is it? Liach HaTashmish. Before Tashmish, not a chance. Provided that it's a moich, Liach HaTashmish, it's Het HaGomer, because Mitzam the man, it's Bia Kederach. Mitzam the woman, she's not Mitzuvah HaShas HaZera. So everything is wonderful. When the Gemara says Gimel Nashim Shamshas Mamoich, what it means is there are three women who better use a moich. Rabbi Meir saying you better use a moich because it's dangerous if you don't use a moich. So rather than saying that everybody else is also and you're mutter, according to Ben Etam, Rabbi Meir is saying everybody's mutter and you better do it. You're obligated to do it. How obligated are you? How incumbent upon it is it to you to do this moich? So here the Rishonim part ways a little bit. Yeah, the Sugar Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat is right, that Rabbi Meir is not just a hetter, but it's more than that. It's a requirement. How much of a requirement is it? So Tosfos Bayas kind of, falls back a little bit. And Tosfos says, Umefarsh Rabbeinu Tam, Mishamshos Trichos L'shamish B'moich HaKatashmish, V'eitze Toivah K'mashmolon. Not like a real, real, real requirement. It's just a really, really good idea. And the Chum say, not even a good idea. We're not going to recommend to do it. The odds, the statistics are so low. It's so unlikely. It's not even together in Eitzah Toiva. That's how Tosfos waters down the Machlokes remainder about it. It's a Machlokes, but in Huchas Eitzah Toiva. You don't give Eitzah Toiva stam. Stam. Silly advice. We don't want to give that. So Rabbi Meir thought this was good advice. And the Chum thought it was silly advice. You can't give silly advice. You don't tell people to do silly things. So other Rishonim put a little bit more teeth into Rabbi Meir. And Tosfos themselves and other places, Rabban, Tosfos Rosh, other Rishonim, when they quote Rabbi Natam's Pshat, they say Rabbi Meir wasn't just an Eitz Toiv, it was a what? It was a real chi about what? Because Rabbi Meir, really honest to goodness, held it was a chashash of a sakana. And the Chum didn't think it was a sakana. So when Rabbi Meir says, B'sham Shos means Trichos Mamish, you better do it. And if you don't, you're in violation of Hisham and Vishmos Navsh Chamihayin. It's a bitl of a chayvahem. Yeah, that's a nuance within what Rabbi Meir said. But one thing we know for a fact, says Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu did not address Asur Amutar, because that's a non-existent issue. That's an irrelevant discussion. Because, says Rabbeinu Tam, if it's a moich le'achatashmish, for sure it's butl l'chuliyama. If it's a moich karantashmish, for sure it's also l'chuliyama, and there's no het of gimel noshim. So everybody said we have to defend, obviously, Shittish Rashi, and understand what exactly is the Nekudas Machlokes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. So comes the Rehi, the next generation, kept this in the family, the next generation, Rabbeinu Tam's nephew, says that I can defend my great-grandfather in one of two ways. You my uncle, he's already talking to his uncle, you, my uncle, attacked the great-grandfather by saying, Mimadav Shach the Pshat is wrong. I'm going to tell you Mimadav Shach the Pshat is right. I'm going to give you two different ways to learn Rashi. I can either explain it's a Moich Kedim Tashmish, or I can explain it's a Moich Liacha Tashmish. Of course, if it's a Moch Kedim Tashmish, I have to address, why is it Mutter? What's the Heter? It's initially there Isa, it's not Pekoch Nefesh, what's the Heter? And of course, if it's a Moch Liacha Tashmish, then I have to address what? What was the issue in the first place that we're trying to be Mater? So I have my hands full, says the Re, but I'm going to do it. We have to just keep the flow of the sugi, the starchal flow. Rashi had his pshat in Gimel Noshim. The Beit HaTamid has the mon of Shach Kashas. The Re says the mon of Shach Teretz. And now we have our place in history to try to understand, to try to explain what in the world Rashi Shita was. How do we defend the against Rabbeinu Tam's critique? And ultimately, what is the Nekudas Machlokes? So let's start. We're going to go backwards. Even though we spent the Beit Tosfos, at least by us, first asked for Liacha Tashmish, and then we moved on to Kedem Tashmish. We're going to go from Kedem to Liacha. This Kedem is before, so we'll start with the first, start with the beginnings. We're going to assume for now that the Machlekes Rashi Ben Adam is about a Moch, Kedem Tashmish, and the starting point is everybody agrees it's Aser, but according to Rashi, the Gimel Noshim, according to Rabbi Meir, or maybe other women with other medical conditions that the Chavim may subscribe to, but at least the Gimel Noshim is Shoko to Rabbi Meir. Gimel Noshim somehow mutter. Rabbi Natam says, forget it. The Gimel Noshim and everybody for that matter are also. Everyone's also. Once it's also, it's also the other book. So what exactly is the Mekuzah Rechuz in Rashi Rabbi Natam? Who's right, Rabbi Natam? Who do you think is right? Rashi Rabbi Natam. Who makes more sense to you? Have an Issagom and Issadiraisis, theory from Parshas Vayeshev. No question about that. It's also their Isa. Rashi is saying, it's okay, Gimel Noshim, it's cool. That's fine. No, Hetigam. And Rabbi Natam says, can't be. It's impossible. Who makes more sense to you, obviously? Rabbi Natam makes much more sense. And Motzach Livrei, Rashi's got it. Rashi wants a Hetigam, you got to prove it. If the starting point is also, you want to be Motzi from the Chazaka being also, you want to explain that it's Mutter, you better explain very, very well. What's the nature of the Hetigam? What is Pshat in this magic word Mutter according to Rashi? Any ideas? Okay, so he definitely holds his mitzvah ona. The question becomes, therefore. Okay, so you want to, you're going down the roots of asei dochalosase kind of sugyas, right? So you got to come for Junesman for that. And by the end of Junesman, you realize that's probably not the way to go. But if you don't come, then you'll never find it.
Similar, there's no, it's not
about
Bakoa, it's for mitzvah
ona. Oh, wow. You guys like two lumbers between the two of you guys, you got everything covered. So let's start with the beginnings. Oh, we have Mamma Kermis. Who do we have here? Who did I put on the Mamma Kermis? Petaisis, hey, it's such a bonus in here, guys. I didn't put the stuff I really wanted you to read on the Mamma Kermis. Okay. How would you begin to tackle this question? How would you even start to tackle this question? It's in the Isa, right? Parshas Vayeshev. Where would you go? What book would you open up? What safe would you look in? What's a good place to start? What? That's not a bad place. Parshas Vayeshev is probably not such a bad place to start. That's the mock for the Issa. It's a pretty good place to begin. A little chumash together. I didn't put it on the Mar Mekermis. I assume everyone knew it. Parshas Vayeshev. You learn this wild story about Ehav Oina doing these terrible things. And the Torah is obviously highlighting the fact it's a terrible thing. For Yomis, God bless you, they're both Chaymisiv and Ishimayim, terrible, terrible things. What exactly did they do in terms of a physical Maisa? So again, the nuances of whether it be a Kedarik, Ishal Kedarik, or whether it's deserving of Chul. Those are details not really relevant for us right now. But there's something else that's part of the story, namely, not just what they did, but almost as important, not just what they did, but why they did it. Intention. Why they did what they did. When it comes to Onan, the Torah is very, very clear as to why he did what he did. Why? Why? because he knew that this child, if there will be a child born, it won't be his. What does it mean? It won't be his. Kilo lo yehazara. It's really going to be whose child is it going to be? Really going to be Er's child. This is, of course, the famous what? Famous Ramban of Torah, right? No one knows. Famous Ramban. I guess everyone took the Ramban's advice not to learn it. Ramban writes, this is one of the Seudas HaTorah that nobody should read about. So I guess, Baruch Hashem, everyone was, as a Gezeirah, nobody read any other Ramban's HaTorah. They shouldn't be nichshol to read this one. So the Ramban writes, this is one of the deep secrets of the Torah that Onan understood. He's the son of Yehuda. They had a Messiah. They understood a lot about the inner makings of the world. And he understood that a child that would be born would really be, in a sense, the neshama of Er, wouldn't really be his quote-unquote child in the world, or whatever that means, would really be Er's child, and that's the whole Yisoid of Yibum. And the Ramban explains some Pesukim in Megillas Rus that way, where the Pesukim describe about Yulad Ben Lenomi, that a child was born for Naomi, even though she wasn't the one who had the baby, because that was really the Gilgal, whatever it was, of our original son, very, very deep esoteric stuff, which we don't begin to understand. But all Munach, there was a reason why Onan did what he did. His goal was that she shouldn't become pregnant. That was it. He did not want her to become pregnant. For his cheshbin, he didn't want her to become pregnant. That was the only impetus for what he was doing. Er doesn't say explicitly why he didn't want her to become pregnant. So Chazal fill in the gaps. He also had an ulterior motive. What was that? Wanted to stay pretty. Shalahakash is Yofia. Zoyshte in Chazal. Comes the Tesis Rid in Maseches Yevamos and says, the motives are not just external to the Yisr, but they define the very essence of the Yisr. Says the Tesis Rid, the whole nature of the Yisr of Ashkos Zera is when a person has a very specific motive, they have one goal. The goal is they don't want a child. That's what's prompting them to do what they're doing. They don't want a child. They don't want the woman to become pregnant because of either Elmas El Yainim, Elmas Etachtainim, whatever the Cheshbainis are, but they have no justifiable excuse for what they're doing. That's what the Torah says. There's nothing to justify what you're doing. Your Cheshbin, with the fact that she's not going to be pretty, that's an irrelevant Cheshbin. Your Cheshbin, you don't want this child, the Gilgul and the Shavu, that's irrelevant Cheshbin. You have unjustified reason, and therefore that's the Yisr. However, Zok Tosis Rid, what if I'd love to have another child? I would be thrilled to have another child. I wish my wife could become pregnant, but what? I don't want her to die. She's dangerous. Rabbi Meir told me it's dangerous. So I'm doing it for a real reason. It's a justified reason. Zok Tosis Rid, that's not the Yisr B'chal. That's not called Ashkos. It's Ashkos Zera physically, but that's not halachically called Ashkos Zera. It's almost quote unquote not dumir de erva oinim. The Yisr erva oinim is not just the Yisr in the ma'aseh, but the whole, it's the picture, it's the goal oriented. That's the Yisr of Ashkos Zera. And if for whatever reason you're doing it, not because you don't want, you'd love to have another child, but Nebuch, your wife isn't well, and therefore you're hoping and praying she'll get to the point when she can have, that's wonderful. Er did not want another child, Aaron and Onan did not want another child. That's the Yisr Ashkos Zera. But if that intention is lacking, that's Tesis Rid, a Rishon. That's Nishkein Yisr of Ma'aseh Erva Oinim. And that's the defense for Shittas Rashi. That's it, right? Yeah, that's really nice. That's the defense for Shittas Rashi.
According to that, Gimel Nashim aren't only these three. Is anybody with a reason not to?
We're going to get to what means reason. We got a long way to go. There's a long, long sugya. Please, nobody walk out of Shia by today and publish something online like everybody else does. They're thinking that they know all the answers to this topic. Okay, here.
So according to this, according to the time, we don't care what the kavana is.
So now it comes out, if this is correct, that the lumbus between Rashi and Tam seems to be revolving around this nekuda. That whereas Rashi is focusing on, it's not just a maisa of Ashkosa, it's a maisa plus mindset of kavana of Ashkosa. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it seems to be no. The kavan is nice and cute. That's irrelevant. At the end of the day, it's a chaza. I don't care why you eat the chaza. You're eating the chaza because you're hungry. You're eating the chaza, you like the taste. You're eating the chaza because somebody dared you to eat the chaza. I don't care what. You ate the chaza. We have to touch up this Rashi a little bit. There's a big chiddush. So that's what we're going to start with. Comes Rav Moshe, which is many tshuvas about this topic. Comes Rav Moshe and Ebenezer, I forgot about which tshuva it is. Comes Rav Moshe, and he says there's more to it than meets the eye of this Taisus Rid. It's a very, 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 very vague hagdara that Taisus Rid just introduced to us. Says Rav Moshe, Mistoma, what the Taisus Rid really means is as follows. And this is where Ashi's idea starts to enter into the scene. Zav to Rav Moshe, what it really means is as follows. The whole nature of the Yisr of Ashkasa Zera, we use like two terms interchangeably, whether they're exactly identical or not is questionable. We speak sometimes about Ashkasa Zera, and Chazal also used the phrase of Otsa Zera Levatola. The word Levatola means for nothing, for a waste, for no constructive purpose. So what Er did was Taka Levatola. What Einan did was Taka Levatola. Zav to Rav Moshe, what if a person is Moitzi Zera, it's not Levatola. You can't call him a Levatola. There's a very real, almost justified reason for what he's doing. Says Rav Moshe, that's not called Ashkasa Zera. It's similar to Ashkasa Zera in the sense of that it's taking the Yisav Atzah Zera, of Ashkasa Zera, and taking it out of the realm of a pure Maisa and putting a person's Kavana into the picture. But whereas, if you read the Ashkasa Zera, it sounds almost like, it's like Zera Sakasa, so it's like a Dumyadir of Oinan. You know, how similar it is to Pashav Yeshev, it's more than this, Rav Moshe. The whole essence, the whole nature of the Yisr is when it's Levatola. This is Nishkin Levatola. Why is it not Levatola? So this is where another suggestion comes up. It's not Levatola, you know why? What do you want this guy to do? He's married to a Ketana, right? He got married. Nobody sets off to marry a Ketana. He married this girl, she's a Ketana, okay? So he married her now, all right? She's a Muber, she's a Menika. So he's doing everything right. He didn't do anything wrong. He asked the Shai and the rabbi said, we miss out a condition for you for Ketana. His wife is pregnant. His wife is nursing. Everything he's done is right. So now he comes and he asks the Rameh, what should I do? Right? You told me that it's dangerous for her to potentially become pregnant at this point. So what would you like me to do? He's asking Rabbi Meir. I have two choices in front of me. I have three choices. Either I can have tashmish with her normally and hope she doesn't become pregnant. Rameh says, not an option. Why? It's dangerous. I can't tell you because it's dangerous. But that's not an option, okay? So give me another option. What's the other option? Don't have tashmish altogether. This guy says, that's not an option. Not to have tashmish for a year and a half. That's not an option. What happens in the mitzvah Torah? That's not an option. So Amamish, I just, I'm all for two. There's only one logical outcome, only one logical option. What is that? To be mat to tashmish for the moich. That's the only thing that's left. So Rabbi Meir turns around and says, okay, it's mutter. How can I be mutter? It's like eating chazir. I have no choice. I have to eat chazir? No. When the isr of chazir is a maisa isr. So unless it's pikuach nefesh, which this we already ascertained is bad, as pikuach nefesh is the lifeguard. So this is not working with the regular rules of pikuach nefesh. So if I come and I say, listen, I have no choice. I have to eat chazir. What do you mean I have no choice? Because I'm going to be hungry. So you'll be hungry. I have no choice. When it comes to the Yisra of Mashke Zera, so since the nature of the Yisra is Levatola, this is Nishkin Levatola. Because all other options are closed to me. So Mamela, that's not the Hagdor of the Yisra, hasn't been met. That's not called Levatola. That's what the Taisus Rid is saying. So again, whether you read it the way the Taisus Rid sounds like he's saying, whether you read Rav Moshe's reading into it, it's all pointing in the same direction. It's all addressing Rabbi Natam's concern. It's all addressing Rabbi Natam's objection. Rabbi Natam says, Asr, Rashi says, Mutam, Mutam, Mutar, because of the very nature of the Yisra. So Rashi is saying, a meichad in Tashmish is a mice of Ashkasa Zera, but it's not an Yisra of Ashkasa Zera in this unique case where there is no other option. Vice versa, if a regular woman who has other options, namely a regular, normal, healthy woman, has many, many other options, she could have Tashmish normally, she could become pregnant. So wait a second, hold on. For you, for a regular woman, what you're doing is an act of Hotzah Zela Vatala. Who told you that you have no other options? What? Who decides you have no other options? Because you didn't finish school yet? Because your parents told you that? Because you're afraid that? Because you can't pay the rent? Who says those are, that's called no other options? Not so simple. You got to be really, 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 really careful because you walk a tightrope between something which is an Issa Deraisa, with a Chibis with a Shemaim, nothing serious, between some real Issa Deraisa, and something that's at the Gomer. And it's all revolving around, does it meet the halachic criteria called, what's Zairich? So if it meets the criteria, then it's at the Gomer. So according to our merit, met the criteria. According to the Chum, Takava didn't meet the criteria. The Chum held this is not valid option. This is not an e-option. Because the Chum said, risk it. What's the big deal? It's not a danger. It's a 1 in 1 billion chance. It's nothing to worry about. It's not a halakhically significant risk. And therefore, you're allowed to do it. So according to the Chum, who said that your hands are not tied, so you're not allowed to do it. And it would be an issue there, according to the Chachamim. It's only because of Rabbi Meir's assessment of the medical risk that he was able to conclude it's e-option halakhically. That's how the Taisus read, Rav Moshe's embellishment. That's pretty much how the sugya plays out at this point. No. Rav Moshe's yisoid is true according to the Chumash, it's not by these three women. Let's say, throw out a muberesim and you can throw out these cases and stick in a woman who has some kind of a serious medical condition, can't become pregnant. So then Rav Moshe said, we'd also concede to Rabbi Meir. No. Bein Tazvi, Bein Rav Moshe, the Chum will agree to Rabbi Meir in a case where it's really dangerous. It's just that they weren't talking about that.
There's a fourth option to do that.
Who says that's going to work? Right? Maybe we don't know. Maybe Inokanami. If we would have another option that would be that would meet the criteria of the doctors, the doctor would say that's perfectly safe. And you're right. Then Inokanami. 100%. 100%. Right. So this seems to be the way the sugya is playing out. Rabbi say, this is quite a chiddush. We're going to, throw up the Tazrid, Rabbi, we're going to call it the same thing now. So sometimes I'll call it Rabbi, sometimes I'll call it Tazrid. I mean the same thing. Whether it's identical, whether it's close enough, it's the same basic tzura of a beer and shittes Rashi. Where did this come from? What kind of mokul? How can you say such a thing? Because you want to defend Rashi? I'd rather go a bit of Thomas Rather Gemara than use such a remarkable chiddush. This is really serious stuff. I mean, as you said, this is not Melech's Machsheva. This is, you got to really, really have a Muna. Real Muna B'tachah to say such a thing. And to be Magda, and this is their Isa, based on what your Kavana is, that's going to change it. That's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous jump. You have to have a source for this. Now, what's the source? Where does the Sugya start? Where do we have? Put anything? Oh, Baruch Hashem, I put something on. Okay. Lamadal of the days. Where did I start on the Rambam Kermis? Yeah, but I'm not Kedarkon, where is it? Mesve, right? Okay. So comes along the top, Lama Dalam of Beis. There's a very, very strange Machlekes Atanoim. Mesve, Kol Esrim Yarbo Chodesh, for 24 months, namely, what is that corresponding to? That's the one the baby is nursing for. In the old days, when babies would nurse about 24 months. Most babies don't do that anymore, but in the old days, they would nurse about 2 years. So come to Tana Rabbi Eliezer, and had the same concern as Rabbi Meir. The same way Rabbi Meir and Asugya felt that it's dangerous for the nursing woman to become pregnant. And we know, we spoke about this a little bit. This is part of the issue of Muberes Chaver. When did we talk about this year? Muberes Menechus. We spoke about it not long ago by the Isha Ruyim de Rabbanan, right? Okay, so it's not the best idea for the woman who's nursing to become pregnant. She's going to not be able to supply enough milk, maybe dangerous for the baby. So there are some potential issues here. So Rabbi Eliezer was very sensitive to that, and he thought it was just a very bad medical idea for this woman to become pregnant. So he came up with the following Eitzah. Kol Esrim Yarbo Chodesh. He said she could do the following. Dash mi befnim, v'zerim mi bachutz. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. They can have tashmish, and then as soon as he feels the zera is going to come out, he should pull out and be v'shiches arza. Basically, what is Rabbi Eliezer advocating doing? Mamish hashchazel v'tal. This is the worst possible case. This is mamish erva inin. Taking more erva inin than this. And the Chacham said, no, not a good idea. Halalu inu ala kemaisi erva inin. No, can't do that. That's too erva inin for us. And Rabbi Eliezer said, it's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Anyone read this Gemara? You just read this Gemara. How can you just read this Gemara? Let Rabbi Eliezer get away. How can Rabbi Eliezer say something? He didn't read Parshas Vayeshev. What was Rabbi Eliezer talking about? What was the matter for what he just said? What's the answer? Zokta Moshe, it'd be no question that Rabbi Eliezer was subscribing to this Lamdas. Rabbi Eliezer was saying that there's no option. Rav says, what do you want from me, says Rav Elazar? The woman's dangerous for her to become pregnant. To tell them not to have tashmish for 2 years is not an option. So every time there he's being dashmish with Rav Yechutz, it's not called otozel levatala. That's called mitzayrech. It's mitzayrech oina. Not like you said that the mitzvah's oina is doichedius. We would never say such a thing because we're Jews bond people. We know that doesn't meet the criteria of esed dechel osazay. It's not that the mitzvah's oina is doichedius. The existence of the mitzvah oina creates a tzayrech. Once there's a sufficient tzayrech that's no longer called a vatola, that's why it's mutter. Because it undermines the existence of a tzayrech, undermines the very essence of the yisr of the vatola. There's no questions, Dr. Moshe, that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. That's the Taisus Rit says, that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. There's no question about it. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we found it. We found the marker for this yisrayin. We found the Tana who supports the Taisus Rit slash Rabbi Moshe's yisrayin b'das Rashi. Of course, it's a very, very bittersweet discovery. Why? Because the Chum turned around and says, Halol Einu El Hamayis Evoinen. Right, the Chum said, nice, but sorry, it doesn't work. Because that's in a Sederais, Yechem Yisidei Shemayim for that stunt. So Rabbi Yisrael, you have to go back to this Gemara, and analyze this Gemara properly. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Eliezer permitted what we thought was unbelievable. He permitted an outright violation, what seems to be an outward violation of Otzar Zera, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter anyway. And the reason why it's mutter is because since it's letzayrech, therefore it becomes mutter because it's no longer called the vatala. And the chachamim say, forget it, it's also minatari chamis de shemayim for it. No, what's the chakira they say? What is the beer in the shitz chacham? What's the pshat of what the chacham is saying? Why the chacham say it's also? They never explain. They just say it's evoinon. Rabbi Elazar also knew it was evoinon, and he still said it was mutter. Why the chacham say it's also? And who's going to explain to me? What? Who's going to explain this? It's not a tzarech. You mean the chum are the same as the chacham in our? Then they should have said, medically we disagree with you. They shouldn't have said, that's my seven honey. They should have said, your medicines are wrong. Your risk factors are wrong. How did the chacham's response to Rabbi Elazar was, you're advocating doing a ma'aseh eva'oinon, to which Rabbi Elazar says, right, I am. I'm telling you to do a ma'aseh eva'oinon, which is mutter anyway, because it's tzayrech. Therefore, it's not levatola. So I want to know, what did the Chum disagree with? So the simple pshat is, I mean, I don't want to say this, what's the simple pshat? That the Chacham hold that what? That there is no such het as tzayrech. What we just said 10 minutes ago was machlokes Rashi and Tam, lo and behold, maybe a machlokes who and who? Rabbi Elazar the Chum, that bodes very, very badly for who? For Rashi, it was built terribly for Rashi. It means maybe the reason why the Chum said it's Aser is because they held Mutzarech is also Aser. Namely, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, the Nei Yisr is, Kavana plays a role. If it's not Levatala, then it's Mutter. We happen to disagree with your fancy Shpansi Lumbus. We hold that it's an Isra Maisa, it's a Pa'ula. If it's called Evanan, it is. If it looks like Evanan, it is Evanan. I couldn't care less what your motive is. I don't care what your justification is. It's like eating chaz. I don't care why you're eating chaz. You're eating chaz. You're eating chaz. Esedoch Elos says, Bechlal not in the parasha. Pikuach Nefesh is totally irrelevant. The only potential matter is called it Letzarech, not Levatol. The Chum say there's no such thing. Even Letzarech is Rasha. Or, maybe, one could say, that no. That the Chacham also subscribed to the basic fundamental. Everyone agrees to the Lamas. How can anybody disagree with the Tosfos and Rav Moshe? Just because you're Chachamim, you're Tanoim, you can't disagree with Moshe. Moshe's Chamoshe. So what did the Chacham say? It's not a tzarech. The wife's going to die. Was it not a tzarech? What? Use a moch, and Rabbi Elazar didn't think he used a moch. The Torah says the doctor said the moch is nice, but it's not effective. It's not as effective. This is for sure more effective. So why the Chum? What was the Chum's issue? Why the Chum chepering on Rabbi Elazar and saying we don't like this?
You're saying that Tzia's wife, anything could be the Sekhana. She could be driving a car that could also be the Sekhana.
So you're saying that the Chachamim were the same Chachamim of our sugya. You said it's not a sakana. But the Chum didn't say that, Rabbi Elazar. The Chum should have said, we disagree with you, not in your assessment of Eva Oinon, we disagree with your risk assessment. This is a medical machlokes. This is a statistical machlokes. This is a ma'ad machlokes. Not as a Torah machlokes. Not the same thing. Ma'ad and ma'ad, Torah is Torah. Okay. Other options. What other options? Other options. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Rebbe Elazar also thought, so that's the machlokes. The kudos machlokes are there other options. So Ashi's putting the machlokes. So he's putting it into the doctor's office. He's putting it into the OB's office. He's putting it into the, these are different. We wanted some Torah here. Torah, base manager. We're in the base manager here. We don't care about the other options. We want a Torah. Torah land in it, sorry. But that's not what the Chum said to Rebbe Elazar. They should have said, we hold Shalom Pesachim Hashem. They should have said Shalom Pesachim Hashem. That's what they should have said. They didn't say that. They said, it's Ma'aseh Avyonin. I know it's Ma'aseh Avyonin. My high. They should have said, the Rekudas HaMachlokes is Shalom Pesachim Hashem. The Rabbanan didn't know Shalom Pesachim Hashem. They also said Howl. They also know the word Shalom Pesachim Hashem. No Doich. No, the Doich is not going to work. Can't have a mitzvah, so it's not Doich anything. One last shot, we'll give you. Because you made fun of you before, we'll give you a second chance.
They say that, like Maisa Erva Onan, in the sense that just like Maisa Erva Onan, there was no justifiable reason.
This is pretty not justifiable. His wife's going to die. Pretty justifiable, too.
Wait, but this case is just for nursing, right?
She's going to die. Oh, baby's going to die. Someone's going to die, right? Rabbi Sai, Zokter Moshe, there's no question that everybody agrees to this Yesod. The Chum had one issue with Rabbi Elazar's application of the Yisai. You know what the issue was? Timing. Your timing is off. What do I mean by that? What's the difference between the Gimel Nashim Hashem Shas B'Moich of Asuya and the Dash B'Frim Zohar Mechutz? The moment that you're being Mash Chazera, what are you accomplishing at that moment? Not what happened 5 minutes before. Not what happened 30 seconds. Not what happened a split second before. At that moment of truth, when you're being Meitzi Zera, right now, what great accomplishment is taking place? Then, not what happened a minute ago. What's happening right now? Absolutely nothing. Unlike the case of Gibbon Hashem Mishamshus B'Moich, at the moment that you're being Meitzi Zera, what great accomplishment is taking place? You're fulfilled with the mitzvah derais of Ein Yigra. You're involved in a Maisa Bia right now. That is the problem that the Chum couldn't tolerate. That was the Nakuda that the Chachamim were shepherding on. Namely, the timing is wrong. The Eitzah that Rabbi Eliezer gave of being Dash B'Frim Zer B'Chutz at the moment when you're Zer B'Chutz, which is the moment of truth of the Yisur, there's no Ona anymore. There's no Ona being fulfilled. There's no mitzvah's Ona at that point. The B is over already. He's outside. That's not a mitzvah's ayinah. That's nothing. It's garnished. At the moment that you're being mash chazera, we cannot hide behind the mitzvah's ayinah. This has nothing to do with Esther Dechalosa say. This has to do with, at the moment that you're violating an Yisr, we have to have justification for what you're doing. And the only justification is you're being involved in the maisa of ayinah right now. If right now you're being involved in the maisa of ayinah and there's no other way to do ayinah, no other equally valid way, effective way of doing Aina, then we can begin to justify Kol Tzarech Mutter. But the fact that you were Yaitzi Aina 10 seconds earlier ago, and now you're doing a Maisa Vashchazer, it's a different Maisa Lagamre, and we cannot hide behind the Tzarech. That's the Nakuda that the Chum disagree with. They agree that Tzarech is Mutter. But they hold, this is not Tzarech. You know why it's not Tzarech? Because the Ona is over, and now the Tzarech is happening in a vacuum, it's happening in and of itself. It's such a good taina. Who has to respond to that? Rabbi Elazar has to respond. And Rav Moshe does that also. This is how Rav Moshe learned the sugya. Rav Moshe looked at this sugya. Me want to go to Rav Moshe. Learned the sugya tucked away in the end of the third paragraph of Yevamah. Islam Adamah to Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. And Rav Moshe is putting halachic categories into this machlokes. You know what Rabbi Elazar held? Rabbi Elazar also agreed to the same yesod. It's got to be a tzurich b'shas ma'isa. But you know what Rabbi Elazar said? We've even seen that idea before. We saw this essay the Chalosa say, so we've seen this idea. We saw this. Who remembers back in the third rank Ksubis? We saw this. Right, the 1B of the Maisa is the cutting of the skin, is a tumbe. This is Kulachada Maisa, says Rabbi Shimon. You're splitting hairs and saying, 0.2 seconds earlier he was doing Aina, and now he's being Motzi Zera. Oh, it's too late. It's not called the Tzairach. Oh, called the Tzairach. You only such a Zaha, Lachik, Hagdar. Sit with a stopwatch exactly when the Aina is open. It's all Chad the Maisa, all part of the Maisa Aina. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer can hide behind the head of Letzerich. So according to Moshe, what comes out? What's the Rekus of Achoyis of Lezer in the Rabbanon? The Rekus of Achoyis has nothing to do with the OB, say, nothing to do with risk management. What does that have to do with? What's the Rekus of Achoyis? Nothing to do with the existence of the principle of Letzerich. The Rekus of Achoyis of Lezer in the Rabbanon, according to Moshe, is what? Whether you magdir this as Chad the Maisa or not, vis-a-vis the Klal of Letzerich that Moshe basically made up, not literally made up, but the Tesis read and Moshe developed. That's how you learn Shad Nisugya. That's got to be Moshe for that. Come on. When you read Yevam Mustaf Lamed, everyone here read Yevam Mustaf Lamed Dalid. In a million years, I wouldn't have said that's the Chlis Machlekes Rebbe Lezer and Rabban. That's why I wasn't Ramosha. Ramosha saw this, read this Gemara, and said, this is the Machlekes. The Tzitzis Rid is 100% right. Rashi is 100% right. I'm right. I mean, I literally don't say I'm right, says Ramosha. And the Tzarech is the Matthew, and that's ultimately behind the Heter of Rebbe Lezer. And even the Chacham agree to it. And the only part ways with Rebbe Lezer are this nuance of a detail. So I state Ramosha. Well, that's a whole new insight into the sugya.
I thought there was how did
they had no justification at all. No. It's a chulach al ma'aseh when there's a justification. That means if the justification is the wife's going to die.
He still had intent.
He had intent. The intent was to be mashma zera. No. There's only had to, if you have a justification to doing ona, so Rabbi Eliezer says, the fact that you're being mitzi zera a second later, that's okay. They had no justification. They should have had bien. She should have become pregnant. It's only because the Rabbi Eliezer is talking about the woman who's going to die, maybe if she becomes pregnant then, or the baby's going to die, that's what Rabbi Eliezer was justified. That's where Moshe sizes up this sugya. It's a sheer ga'inus. Moshe didn't stop. Moshe did not stop at this point. Says Ramosha, and he picks up the Taisa's Ritz, thought of the ball rolling. Ramosha just elaborates a little bit more. There's another Gemara. I put the Taisa's under my Mekomis, if I'm not mistaken. On Lamadalam of Bays, the Mask of Aloy. But the Gemara talks about two different types of potential Ma'aseh Erva Oinon. Now everybody's healthy, Baruch Hashem, nobody's dying, nobody's sick, nobody's pregnant, nobody's nervous, everyone's healthy, normal, husband and wife. And the Gemara talks about two possible physical descriptions of Ma'aseh Erva Oinon. One is Dash Rufin Vizor Vachutz. What was the other one? Biyash Lekedarka. So if you read the Gemara in Lamadan with Beis and Yevamish, you walk away with the impression that Biyash Lekedarka is as bad as you can get. It's the Zat Mamash and Isagir Isam, it's Zerl of the Frelach, it's Sub Nisub Deshimayim. That's the simple reading of the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. What problem does Tosfos raise? There's a Gemara Maseches Nedarim that says what? Gemara tells a story. Rebbe seems to say it was Het Gomer. The Gemara tells a story. Somebody came to Rebbe and asked, "It's a Shaila." Rebbe said, "What do you want? What's the Shaila? It's Mutter. Yishlo Kederach is Mutter." So Tosfos says, "What's going on? What in the world's going on?" No, what does Tosfos say? Who saw the Tosfos? Tosfos gives two terusim to this kasha. Who saw the Tosfos? On the one hand, the Gemara Yevama sounds like it smacks the Ma'aseh Erva Oinon Misa Deshamayim, and the Gemara Nedarim says it's Mutter. Small contradiction. The Oimiri, the Hosam Mari below Tzehazara, below Tzehazara. As I said, the Gemara Nedarim never said he's going to be Ma'aseh Zara. They just said the Gemara was talking about the Ma'aseh itself. The Ma'aseh itself is Mutter. Whether it's not nice, whether it's maneuver, whether it's proper, we're not talking about that right now. But Tosfos says, what are you going to ask for? Based on what? If he's not much zera, he's not much zera. So the ma'aseh itself is mutter. Yeah, it's b'yish lo kedarka. It means he's having a ma'aseh as aver, then shelo kedarka, but not, does mean anything. Oyde Miri, listen to this one. The lo choshev ke ma'aseh ever oynan, el kashem is kavin lahash chizera v'roga lasas kein tomid. Vabakroy bi alma mis avalova lishta shlekadaka shari. See what the Rebbe just said? The Rebbe said the answer to the kasha is like this. The Gemara in Yevam Mustaf Lamed Aleph that says the Biyash Lekedarka is a disaster. That's what's done all the time. If it's done once in a blue moon, then it's okay. And that's the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. Even with what? What's the reset in Teretz? Even though what are you doing? You're being Motzi Zera. If you're not being Motzi Zera, that was the first Teretz of the Rebbe. So the second answer to the Rebbe is saying, even with atzah zera, the pashas in the Gemara, there was atzah zera, it's still mutar as long as it's once in a long time. That's quite a difficult teretz to swallow, Rabbi say. It almost sounds like I would say to you, you know, you want to go to McDonald's, don't go every day, go once every 6 months, not so bad. You know, don't go to Shabbos all the time, you know, don't turn the light switch all the time, once every few months, not so bad, right? Things like that, right? I would say things like that, right? So what would happen to if I said something like that? I would hope you would find another Rebbe. So comes the Rebbe and says, yeah, it's terrible, it's a gefährlich, it's a chai mishdei shemayim, it's a v'oinetz, gemar yavomis, lamadals, the word v'yomis, gamar soy, but she do once in a while, it's okay. Mama, Sisrei Torah, the Rebbe. It's Sisrei Torah. You know what the Beis Yosef said about this Rebbe? Beis Yosef said that the Rebbe never saw the Sefer HaZoyer. Sefer HaZoyer was hidden for a long time. It started to become popular much, much later on. It's in the days of the Rishonim, and the Rishonim didn't see it. Says the Beis Yosef, if the Rebbe would have seen the Sefer HaZoyer, he never would have said this. Because it says in the Sefer HaZoyer, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible Aveira. The Rebbe never would have flippantly said it's Mutta once in a while. Dr. Moshe, he doesn't understand what the Beis Yosef wanted from the Rebbe. But the Beis Yosef should have asked against the Rebbe is, this has nothing to do with Zohar and Kabbalah. He should have asked, but the Beis Yosef should have asked on the Rebbe is, what's he talking about? It's awesome in Daraisa. What do you mean it's Mutta once every 6 months? But the Beis Yosef makes it sound like, Api Kabbalah, you know. It's Pashtish Api Kabbalah. Pashtish Api Kabbalah. It's also Daraisa. What do you need Kabbalah for? That's what Moshe says. The Pel on the Beis Yosef says, Pel on the Rebbe. If you want to be Pella on a Rebbe, you should have really asked a much better Pella than that Pella. It's not a Pella, this whole Sugi is a Pella. This whole Rebbe, the Mamash, doesn't make any sense. So let's try this Rebbe. Comes to Moshe and says, the answer to the riddle of this Rebbe is my Yisoid, says Moshe. My Yisoid, and it's Rebbe Yisoid, which has been brought to you originally from Rabbi Eliezer and was never debated by the Chachamim. Namely, that Otzah Zera Levatola is not a Maisa itself that's Asur, is a critical component in Isser of Otzah Zera Levatola that must be addressed, and that is the phrase Levatola. If it meets the criteria of Levatola that it's Asur, if it doesn't quite meet, if it falls short of that definition of Levatola, then it's Hetagomer. Not because it's Deich, not because it's Pugach, that's not the Isser. Says Ramayisha, that's the beginning of the answer to this Pella of the Reed. We have a work cut out for us. We have to explain what the Rebbe was driving at, how Rav Moshe and Tosfos really going to help the Rebbe defend the Rebbe. We have to understand, obviously, why time, how often you do it plays a role. And we have to figure out, once we come up with this great Yisoid, why the first Teretz of the Rebbe didn't buy into this Yisoid. And we have to start to put the piece of this puzzle together. So Rabbi said, we've barely scratched the surface of the Sugya. What we've accomplished so far is, we saw Shittas Rashi. Rashi's basic beer in the sugya. There's a starting point of an Isser. The second half of the sugya, according to Rashi, is there's a heter. Rabbi Natan said, "Memonoshach." If it's the Achatashmish, there was no Isser to start with. We haven't even begun to go down that route yet. We've been addressing, assuming that it's the moch of Kedem Tashmish, that there is an Isser. We're trying to figure out what the heter is. Sometimes it's written. Ramesh began to introduce to us a possible heter, how the Tzorech plays a role. We're starting to get our feet wet in seeing what the Tzorech does and doesn't do. We had Rebbe Lezer and the Rabbanan. Now we have a Re in the same daf, based on the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. We're trying to flesh out a little bit what this Hagdara of Letzarech is and what it's not. This is all to defend Shittas Rashi, assuming that Rashi was talking about what kind of a Moich? The Moich of Kodah, but not even sure Rashi was talking about. So we're still working significantly on the first beer of the Rebbe Das Rashi. Hopefully after we finish that, we'll have to move into the second half, the other possible beer in Rashi, because we're not even sure what Rashi said. But the Rebbe is playing the possibility. The Rebbe is saying it is possible to be telling him if the Rebbe was willing to say his Pshapadas, his great-grandfather, if he's willing to say the Kenzai and Rashi held, it's a Moch Lefnei Tashmish, that it behooves us to figure out what the heter is. This is Rebbe from Moshe, how this Gemara in the Dharma is going to play out. Hopefully we have a lot of work cut out for us as a best citizen. Okay.